election season here in Muskegon, here across the state of Michigan. And on the phone line, we are honored to have Dr. Odo El Said on the phone line. He is running for U.S. Senate right here in the state of Michigan on the Democratic side. How you doing today, Doc?
I'm doing great, better now that I'm getting a shot with you guys.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. We had you on when you ran for governor a few years back, and it's great to have you back on the phone line. Few things to help us out. Progressive Democrat. What is a progressive Democrat? What separates a progressive Democrat from a regular Democrat?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know about the meaning of that word. Everybody's got a different meaning for it, but let me tell you what I'm about. I want our government to act like all of our kids are all of our kids. I don't want corporations to be able to buy off politicians. I think you should be able to afford your health care because the government can guarantee it for you. I don't want to waste my money spending to drop bombs on other people's kids and fight wars we don't need. I want to make sure your kid gets to go to a great school. And I want to make sure that we go back to the idea of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. If that makes me progressive, so be it. But I'm a lot more focused on just how do I deliver to make sure you can afford your rent, you can afford your car note, your kid goes to a good school, you get the health care you need when you need it, and that we're not wasting your money to kill other people when we could be saving yours.
Well, so the other Democrats are, I guess, the opposite then.
Well, they're the corporate Democrats, right? Like if you're asking a corporation to buy your campaign, let's just say this, right? Let's say DTE cuts you a check for $37,500 across all your elected official career. Guess who you're not going to regulate when DTE messes around and you lose your power for 5 days after the wind blows? Guess who you're not going to stand up to?
Right.
Or if big tech pays for your campaigns, when they want to put a data center in your backyard, guess who you're not going to stand up to? Mm-hmm. Or if big pharma pays for your campaign and they're trying to raise your prescription drug prices, guess who you're not going to stand up to? I don't take money from corporations to run my campaigns. I ask everyday people to chip in $5 or $10 so that I work for the people and not for the corporation. That's the difference.
Wow. Well, we hear the argument about AIPAC and the influence they have on politicians. And do you think it's a bad idea to take donations from them?
Yeah. Well, look, they spent $30 million in this race alone trying to beat me. All those ads you see about me saying bad things about me, guess who paid for them? AIPAC paid for them. And the reason that they paid for them is because I have the audacity to think that we shouldn't be sending billions of your tax dollars to a country that's doing a genocide or apartheid. I happen to think that that money should be spent here to rebuild your kid's school or pave your roads or provide you health care. And so, yeah, when you have a organization who thinks that our foreign policy should be dictated to us by a country that's no bigger than the state of Michigan, I happen to think that's a bad idea. It shouldn't be that difficult, but they got a ton of money to spend. And so nobody ever says that, because guess what? If you say that, then all of a sudden they're going to spend $30 million trying to go after your character and say a bunch of terrible things about you.
Well, if you win the primaries, do you believe you would get the support from the Democrats?
I mean, look, we gotta win a Senate majority for the Democrats. So, listen, I'm just trying to make Democrats better. Like, we walk around talking about we're for working people, and then we take money from the corporations that are making it harder for working people. I'm just saying, I'm a proud Democrat. I'm just saying that Democrats should be Democrats again.
So, make Democrats great again.
I hope they'll support me.
Right. Talk about your history working within, you know, the black community. I know you worked in Wayne County. You was in the health department there. What are some of the things that you're proud of that you've been able to do that benefited the inner city?
Yeah. So back in the bad old days of emergency management, back when Rick Snyder was the governor, and he's pushing his emergency managers on everybody. They're putting them in Flint. They put them in Detroit. They shut down Detroit's health department, 185-year-old health department, oldest health department in the whole state. They shut it down. And I was hired to rebuild it. But we thought outside the box. So we guaranteed every child a free pair of glasses delivered at school within 2 weeks of a vision test, a program that's done tens of thousands of pairs of glasses now. We had every school, daycare, and Head Start tested for lead in the water after the Flint water crisis to make sure that kids weren't exposed to lead in their schools. We stood up to some of the biggest corporate polluters in our state, forced the biggest polluter in the most polluted zip code in Detroit to reduce their emissions and spend $10 million of their own money to do it when they had wanted to increase them. We, in Wayne, the health director for Wayne County most recently, we eliminated up to hundreds of millions of dollars in medical debt. We built the program to provide health insurance for free for new small businesses and their employees. We put Narcan, life-saving anti-overdose medication, in 100 different locations. And that's been my work in Detroit and Wayne County. If you've been in Wayne County, you've probably seen me because of the work that we've done. But I'll tell you this. I also know just how much of a debt of gratitude I owe the Black community. Look, my parents immigrated from Egypt. So it's, I always tell folks, I'm not Black, but I am African, right? And
right.
I know
you're right about that.
I've immigrated here, right? But for the Immigration Act of 1965. You know why that passed? Because of the civil rights work of that era.
Wow.
And I understood, right, after 9/11, I was a junior in high school during 9/11. And I had a teacher pull me aside. He said, look, man, you got to read about your history. I said, well, my folks immigrated here. He said, yeah, I know. But your history starts way before you and your family. You got to understand the struggle of people of color in this country. So I read James Baldwin and Alex Haley and Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass. And I understood two things. Number one, that my life in America doesn't happen but for the Black struggle. And I owe that a deep debt of gratitude. And two, how privileged I am to be a person of color in America, but not inherit all of the structural racism that the Black community has endured and still has to endure. And so, you know, for me, the work that I've done has been about trying to address the systematic inequalities in our country because of the racism that still exists in our society as a function of decisions that we made in the past. And, you know, I understand that is the fundamental work of our time and has to continue forward. And so, you know, I left a professor job at Columbia in New York to come back home to the city of Detroit to rebuild the health department, because I understand that if we're not getting it right when it comes to the Black community in our state, then we're not getting it right.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Adol L. Said is on the phone line running for U.S. Senate. How do you feel about the upcoming primaries? You know, you would be the first Muslim senator to make it to the statewide ticket if you're elected.
I'd be the first of a lot of things. I'd be the first ever health commissioner ever to serve in the U.S. Senate. I'd be the first Egyptian-American and the first Muslim. I'll be honest with you, I don't spend as much time thinking about that. I think about the question it answers about Michigan. See, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you couldn't win because his name's Abdul and, you know, he's Muslim. He prays the wrong way. His family's from the wrong place. All these things. Name's wrong. I know in Michigan, we're the first state. We elected Barack Obama twice, right?
Right.
And I've been a guy...
Hello, I think you lost you there for a second. Are you there? Hello?
They care less about your name. They care, you know, do you care to remember my name? And what I tell you is that I love the idea that Michigan has an opportunity to prove all the naysayers wrong, that we're a state that cares a lot more about what you want to do for folks in the state rather than what your name is or how you pray while you're doing it. And so I just want to show people what I know about our state, and I think Michigan has that opportunity in August and then again in November.
Do you believe Medicare for all is possible?
I do, if we fight for it. But I'll tell you, man, if we're taking money from the big pharma, taking money from big insurance, taking money from big hospitals, yeah, we're never going to get it done, because guess what? They make a lot of money because we don't have Medicare for all. But I became a doctor not because I wanted folks to make money off of people when they get sick. I became a doctor because I wanted to be able to make sick people healthy. And our healthcare system should be for us rather than for the corporations who make a ton of money off of it. So if we're willing to stand up to those corporations, if we're willing to elect politicians who don't take their money, if we're willing to talk about what we can have rather than what they tell us we can have, I think it's possible. But it's going to take a lot of work. And I don't want folks to think that we're going to be able to pass it overnight. I want them to understand that we've got to fight for it. And I'm one of those politicians who understands that. Like, I never grew up saying, oh, wouldn't it be great to be a congressperson or a senator? I grew up thinking, man, it would be great to be a doctor, until I realized that it was our healthcare system that's making it harder for people to be a doctor, and worse, harder for people to be a patient. Wow. So the only reason I'm running for office is because I want our system to work for people, and I know that it can if we're willing to stand up to the folks who tell us what we can't have and shouldn't fight for.
The Medicare for All, is that a Democratic platform, or that's a progressive Democratic platform?
I'm working to try and make sure it's a Democratic platform. Frankly, I'm trying to make sure that it's the American platform.
Well, and the people you've been talking to around the state of Michigan, do they believe in that, or are they against it?
You know, I'll tell you this. I met a guy. He comes up to me. He's like, you know, I don't like you much. I said, okay. He said, well, I'm going to vote for you. I was like, okay. Can you explain? He's like, yeah, man, I think you really want me to have health care. I said, I really want you to have health care. He's like, I know. So I looked at him. I said, okay, so why don't you like me? He said, because you're Muslim. So I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Look, I don't need you to like me, man. I need you to like you. That's it. So, you know, everywhere I go, I run into folks who voted for Donald Trump, some of them three times. And they're telling me, look, I'm supporting you because I think you really want me to have health care. I think you're not bought off by all the folks who are buying off all the politicians left and right, Donald Trump most of all. And I think we can actually have those things if we're willing to fight for them. And you look like somebody who's willing to fight for me. And guess what? They're spending $50 million to go after your character and after your name. You know what that tells me? That you must really be for me. Because all those other politicians who get all that money, they ain't done jack squat for me. And I trust the guy who all the rest of them hate, frankly, because it tells me that you actually must be for me.
You know, and the problem is, Doc, and you know this, once they get elected, people, sometimes they change. You know, you think they're going to stay away from all this PAC money or influence money. Then next thing you know, they on a trip. They on a trip overseas, paid for by Israel, paid for by, you know, their colleagues. And that's the fear we have, is like, who's going to be real about this? Who can we trust that won't flip on us? You know, I didn't think Hakeem Jeffries would be that bought in. That he can't be persuaded, but he is. Daycare, health for kids. How do we reduce the cost?
Look, I just think it should be something we give to people because, you know, it's good for the economy. It's funny, all these people are like, oh, you can't afford that. And I look and I say, well, you know what we can't afford? We can't afford to lose half of our working folk, most often women, because, you know, misogyny, to choose between can I afford childcare or can I go to work? So imagine how much you unlock when you provide childcare and now everybody can participate in the economy as they choose to. So it's a choice we make. And meanwhile, right, we're out here fighting this stupid war in Iran, $500 billion that they've wasted of our tax dollars. Nobody asked the general, how are you going to pay for that? Right? And every time you're trying to do something for people, give them health care, give them good schools, give them child care, and was like, oh, how are you going to pay for that? I don't know, man. I think maybe we stop paying for the stupid wars. Maybe we start taxing billionaires a fair share, and then maybe we could pay for these other things that empower working people to have a good life. So I think we could do it by literally just guaranteeing it, because it would unlock so much more economic activity. It's more than pay for itself.
Wow. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Yes. How you doing, sir? First, want to say assalamu alaikum to you. I'm a Muslim also. One of my questions is, if you win this Senate race, what's your first 120 days look like?
So number one, man, we got to haul up RFK Jr. for all of the ridiculous things he's done. We got to haul up these Doge people. Because look, I've been up and down this state, man. I'm like dodging lettuce. All the things you think you're going to dodge, dodging lettuce is not one of them. All right? And I got to dodge lettuce because he doged the FDA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all of us. 6,000 cases of cyclosporiasis. I think that needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
I think we got to understand what he got out of it. And so I think that's number one. Number two, I want to make sure that we push the following, get the following legislation out. And, you know, it really depends. Are we going to be in the majority or the minority? But I think we got to get voting rights right. I think we got to get Medicare for all right, and I think we got to finally get money out of politics, right? From there, I think we got to pass the PRO Act to normalize union organizing. I think we got to tax billionaires their wealth, and I think we got to stop spending our money abroad to drop bombs on other people's kids when our kids need better schools.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You, I noticed they always ask you this question.
So
this is a question they ask you. Does Israel have a right to exist? I'm not going to ask you that question.
No, we don't even want to know your opinion. But, we done heard it.
But the question I want to ask you, does Africa have a right to exist? I never hear them ask that question.
Hey, man. Yeah, it does. And you know what? Here's the thing. There are like so many better questions that they could be asking us. Like, I wish they asked me, does Israel have a right to our tax dollars?
Mm.
Okay.
The issue on the table.
Right.
Israel exists.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, man. Israel exists. And then everybody out here being like, well, we need a two-state solution. I'm like, okay, so why don't you ask me if Palestine has the right to exist? Because that's the other state.
Exactly.
To your point, right? Like, you know, Africa, you just think about the way that Donald Trump has weaponized America first, right?
Right.
I mean, the man is a liar. We're fighting this war. Nobody ever heard of the Strait of Hormuz before now. Mm-hmm. Now that's all anybody can talk about. right? Like, why is my meat too expensive? Well, straight up Hormuz. How come gas is $5 straight up Hormuz? And so he's starting wars. But then what he gutted was the ability to fight epidemics in sub-Saharan Africa, the ability to make sure people have good, healthy food. And here's the crazy thing, right? We cut food aid and medical aid, and then they wonder why people feel the need to have to immigrate. But they want to end that too. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe if you made it easier for people not to die of disease and had good food, maybe we could, I don't know, solve pandemics before they hit our shores.
Exactly.
Or you could actually have a coherent approach to immigration because people will be perfectly happy where they are. But instead, we send our corporations. They take all of the rights to people's natural resources, and then they make all this money, and then we wonder why they can't get a job where they are, and they're trying to immigrate. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Wow. Well, Dr. Adal El Sayed is on the phone line running for Senate. And how can people join your campaign? I know you had a big rally over in Grand Rapids recently and across the state. How can people in Muskegon join your campaign?
Hey, we are organizing up and down the state, right? For us, it's the money versus the many, right? And they got the money, we got the many. So I really appreciate you asking that question. Go to abdulforsenate.com. Sign up to volunteer. We got folks knocking doors in Muskegon as we speak. We got, if knocking doors is not your thing, you can join a phone bank. You can also chip off $5, $10, I don't take money from the corporations. And so I ask everyday people to support us that way. But abdulforsenate.com is the way to go. Follow us on socials at Abdul El Sayed. We keep it fresh, keep it interesting, and hope folks will share our stuff. And then look, a lot of our communities just don't show up and vote, right? We're like, I really like the guy. I hope he wins. I'm like, don't hope, vote, right? I need folks to make sure that they made a plan to get out there by August 4th and make sure that you, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your cousins, your nephew, everybody down the street, all your neighbors, the whole community, get out and vote. I always tell people, look, just make sure that you raise your voice. Even if it's not for me, just make sure that you've listed your voice in our democracy, because they ignore us because too often our communities don't show up. And I don't want our communities to be ignored anymore.
Wow. Why do you think the younger folks are resonating with you? They're connecting with you.
You can say what you will about my positions. I'm not lying to you. And I don't take young people for granted. There's this this approach that too often when politicians talk to young people, it's like Thanksgiving. There's like the adult table and the kiddie table. We don't have a kiddie table. Like, it's everybody's table. And if anything, I want to hear from young people more because they got more stake in our democracy. I don't show up and be like, dear youth, you should come out and vote for me because I said so, even though nothing material about your life is going to change. No, look, I want young people making policy with me because at the end of the day, you got to live more in that world. I'm 41, right? Statistically speaking, I'm halfway done. Right? That's statistically speaking. The way I'm going, probably more than halfway done.
Yeah.
I got two little girls at home, right? 8 and 3. And so it's like, we're all passing this one down. And so I need the folks who are in their 20s and in their 30s to be thinking about the world that they want to build, because my little girls are going to live in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I want folks to understand. I take seriously when you tell me, hey, look, like, if you're 26 right now, you were born in the year 2000. 9/11 happened when you were 1 year old.
Wow.
We've been fighting wars for most of your life, right? The internet became a thing trying to steal your attention through your eyeballs and eardrums, right?
Right.
Before you were born. And then it went in your pocket by the time you were 6.
Mm.
So chances are you're trying to talk to your parents and they got a screen in their face.
Right.
And then Donald Trump like ruins our politics for most of your life. You're probably in high school or college when COVID happened.
Wow.
So I understand why young folks are like, they're like, none of this matters anyway.
Wow.
I'm just trying to make it matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Show me what you need me to do to build a world that you can believe in. Because at the end of the day, you're building that world for my little girl.
Yeah.
And it matters a lot to me that when they ask me, what did you do in that moment? I could tell them I fought like hell for you, right? Because you deserve to believe in the America that we're passing down. And I think young people see that. And they understand who's just telling them things they want to hear versus telling them the truth that they feel and believe. Because like young people, here's the thing, man, they've been lied to on the internet forever. So they got a really good BS meter.
Yeah,
so they can tell you are about it, or you're just lying to them pretty quick. So I'm just, for me, like I don't need this job enough to show up and lie to people. What I mean? Honestly, my life is better if I don't win.
They know you're real, then. I guess they're connecting with you. Yeah, Big Rob, go ahead. I'll get the last question for him.
No, I just want to say to you, Abdul, stay who you are, because talking to you, interviewing you, you sound like a real person. You don't sound like a politician. You sound like you're a real person that have real great ideals, real concerns about your own children, not just the children of Michigan, but children all over the world. So keep your passion. You just sound so real. Like, you know, I ain't never heard a politician talking like you're talking. And it's not like you're using big words to overstep anybody. You have a doctoral degree, and you just sound like a concerned parent, human being. So please stay that way, brother.
Hey, brother, I always tell people, lift me up and then hold me down. So, you know, everybody's like, I'll pray for you to win. I'm like, don't pray for me to win. Pray for me that I serve the way that people deserve service. That's the prayer I want. So thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for the reminder. And look, like, I don't know what's about to happen. Like, I've never been in the U.S. Senate before. But I can tell you that the minute I stop being able to actually do good work for people is the minute that job is not useful for me anymore. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I'll tell you this. My folks immigrated here. My grandmother was illiterate. I used to spend some of my summers with her. And smartest person I ever met, but never learned how to read a book. She had 8 babies. 2 of them died before their first birthday. So the thing I always try to remember, I always try to think, like, what would my grandmother think? And I hope that I take her with me everywhere I go, because, you know, there's nothing like knowing that the smartest person you ever knew never got to step foot into a school to show you how valuable school is. Wow. And how valuable it is to be working for opportunity for people. And that's what I try to do with my career. So I hope I can do that in this seat. I hope that I can earn folks' support. And like I said, lift me up, then hold me down. I hope that I get to come on more often. We get to do this in person next time.
No doubt. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Hey, we got an opportunity to think different about where our politics need to go. You know, if you think the status quo is working for you, then you got an option, or you got the option to stay home. But if you want politics to start actually working for you, I'm the only one who's never taken a dime from the folks who are rigging our system, the folks who are paying off all the politicians. I'm the only one who's going to tell it to you straight. And I hope that I can earn your support, and I hope that I can go and serve you as your next U.S. senator from the state of Michigan.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Doc. Make sure you have a great day. Take care.
Appreciate you all. All right.
There you go. Running for U.S. Senate. A progressive.
I don't know what's the difference. I mean, he just sounds like how you talk, you know, how I talk, how people in the community talk. He don't sound like a politician.
And he's up against a machine.
Yes.
The Democratic machine, the status quo Democratic machine, is big. It is fighting to maintain the status quo.
Yes, they are.
And we opened the platform to talk to them. I mean, it's a lot of them. It's a lot of
Democrats, Republicans.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Independents.
Yes, yes.
Tea Party. We talk to anybody.
Yeah, I think the mail-in voting absentee ballots is already out. I know I got mine. You got yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they already out there. So we're going to try to get as many on if we can.
Yeah.
Before, was it August the 4th?
Yes.
August the 4th. All right. All right, family. Getting ready to go back to more music. Thank you for keeping up.